Are you ready? Ready for relevant financial news? Ready for free, no-hassle streaming without a subscription? Tune into Yahoo Finance Live for hours of live market coverage. They're ready. Are you?
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Women and young people are victimized by scammers and fraudsters more often than any other group. In a moment, we'll have tips for protecting yourself against fraudulent emails, as well as bad guys pretending to be the IRS. First, these money and market stories you should know. Consumers weren't bashful about opening up their wallets during the holiday shopping season, but their crystal ball is a bit cloudy looking ahead. The Conference Board says that consumer confidence dropped in December, likely as a result of the stream of stock market sell-offs, as well as the continuing concerns about the Trump administration's trade actions this year. The Conference Board's Director of Economic Indicators says expectations regarding job prospects and business conditions weakened, but still suggests the economy will continue expanding at a solid pace in the short term. And Wall Street often uses economic data like new home sales, housing construction, trade figures, gross domestic product, and inflation to gauge the direction of the economy. But the Commerce Department says it will not publish that data as long as the economic shutdown is still going on. The Labor Department, however, says it's full steam ahead and will publish data on jobless benefits and the monthly employment report, as well as other inflation measures, whether the government is open or not.
The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what business you're in, you know the importance of financing to help manage your cash flow. Flexible funding solutions from American Express can help. Eligible card members get business loans up to $50,000 decided in as little as 60 seconds. It could be a big headline for your business. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it. Terms apply. For details, visit americanexpress.com/business.
Unfortunately, financial scams are a way of life for Americans, and they're losing more than $100 billion each year to scams. But there's a troubling storyline to scams as well. That's that women are more at risk for being victimized by scammers than men. And certified financial planner Bill Francovilla joins us with details. So, Bill, why are women particularly at risk?
I guess we have to keep in mind that the scammers are always seeking out the most vulnerable among us. This has nothing to do with gender relative to intelligence or emotional capacity or anything like that. It has to do with station in life. JR, if you consider for a moment that women outlive men, and oftentimes these women find themselves perhaps living by themselves for the very first time. There may be some cognitive issues that are wreaking havoc on their decision making. Well, the bad guys know this. And as a matter of fact, that becomes one of their primary targets. They're looking at older women living alone for the first time, maybe having some of these shared responsibilities inherent upon them for the very first time. And they're reaching out, and they want one of two things. They want their money, or they want their personal information so they can access their money. It's not fair. It's happening. It's happening with far more frequency today than it did last year, certainly 5 years ago, and we have to take a stand against it.
So, Bill, how is it that these fraudsters have fine-tuned their skills at fooling people?
They are evolving, and they are so good at what they do. This, as an industry, if you will, has reestablished itself, and they seem to be keeping one step ahead of our authorities. A case in point, my sister-in-law lost her husband a couple of years ago. Well, guess what? His obituary showed up in the local newspaper. Within the week, she had a phone call from someone purporting to be with the IRS, and they wanted and demanded money that she and her husband owed them on back taxes. She had never dealt with taxes before, not by herself. So she was in a quandary, and she did the right thing. She called the police, and they did the right thing by reassuring her and dispatching police officers to her home to make certain she was okay. But it's become an art form for them. You know, you referenced that there were $100 billion that was scammed in any one given year. Those are the reported scams. Consider the number of scams that go unreported simply because people are, maybe they're too embarrassed, or maybe they don't even know they've been scammed.
Let me ask you this. Which types of scams are more effective at victimizing women rather than men, or those who are just simply more vulnerable?
That's a wonderful question. And there have been some studies that have been conducted that actually point to some very specifics. Men have a proclivity to fall prey to investment scams. Women, especially older women, they are more susceptible to lottery-type scams, or, you know, the phone call you get where, geez, you've won a brand new Jeep Cherokee, and all you have to do is pay for the titling and the taxes, and we'll deliver your vehicle. I often wonder why that is, but it's been proven via many surveys that that's the case.
So, Bill, what about young people? Are they being scammed as often as older people?
You would think that the younger people are perhaps are what we refer to as our millennials would have some more street smart. But the contrary is true, and it's because they spend so much time on their devices. They're always on their phones and their iPads, and they're always very, very connected. This is a very effective method whereby the scam artists prey upon our younger people. And incidentally, it's so critical to understand that the bad guys are retrieving so much of this information via social media. We as a nation, and let's be a little more specific, some of our younger people are far, far too public on social media sites. The scam artists have made this into an art form where they are going to find the vulnerable among us. They're going to find out pertinent information. They love to know when you were born. They love to know where you went to school. They love to know where you lived as a child. And it's all in an attempt to infiltrate and retrieve information. So I guess if there was one cautionary word, it would stay off of social media to the extent that you can, and by all means, resist the temptation of providing so much of that personal information. It just doesn't have to be out there.
And is there a simple way to detect a phone or email scam?
Well, no, there isn't an easy way. There are some red flags. One of the red flags is the robocall, where there'll be a moment, a split second hesitation before a real person comes on. Well, you know what? They're calling random. Your number happens to be the next number in line. You're going to get the call. You're going to get the same pitch as the person previous to yourself. That's a number one red flag. There was a gentleman, his name was Simon Lovell. He was reputed as being the scam artist of the 20th century. He made hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars by scamming people. Well, he went to jail, he got out of jail, wrote books, and does public speaking. Simon Lovell is famous for saying, "I love it when people tell me they can't be conned, because in my mind, they're halfway to being conned." That's the first rule to avoiding scams: looking in the mirror and admitting it. I'm a pretty smart guy, but I can be scammed. Secondly, avoid buying anything or presenting any information based on emotion. If we can eliminate the emotional factors around so many of these phone calls, it's the grandparents' call, it's the fear call from the IRS, it's someone who purportedly hasn't shown up for jury duty and you're going to be arrested. Well, we oftentimes get very, very scared, and we act in an incoherent manner. Avoid emotion. Number three, as much as we should be cautious of the internet, it can be a great ally. Take a day or two, go to your browser, plug in the scam that you think is being perpetrated. It'll blow up. You'll see, oh my goodness, this has happened dozens of times. This has happened hundreds of times. Of course it's a scam, and you'll feel better about it.
I've actually done that, and it actually sends back very legitimate answers, and it's a good way to head off being scammed. And with regard to the Internal Revenue Service and perhaps fake contact from the IRS, I guess a good rule of thumb is that the IRS will never initiate contact over the phone.
JR, 100%. I wish everyone had a firm understanding of that. They just won't. The juror duty scam they won't reach out. So many of these scam artists, they know they have a very narrow window, and they have to get in there. They have to play upon a person's emotions, and they have to get a check or a credit card number or some type of personal information where they can advantage themselves. The IRS scam, if I might please, there was a fella out of India. His name was Sagar Thakkar, a.k.a. Shaggy. Between the years 2013 and 2017, he absconded over $300 million from unsuspecting Americans. He had employed 700 people to make these random calls to folks like you and me and all your viewers and listeners. He was successful until he was caught. He went to jail. But this $300 million that will never be returned.
Wow, that is remarkable, the amount of money that was scanned from people and the fact that it was not able to be returned. That is certified financial planner Bill Francavilla with us on the line. Bill, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I'm delighted to participate.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.